This is Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, broadcasting from a windowless bunker at an undisclosed location in the rural wild mountain west in the occupied states of America. And on the other end of the inner tubes, we have Chandler St. Pierre, the jabbering coon cat. Are you there? Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I am safe, and I have not been contacted by the government. I've been too busy.
Cool. And we got Mr. Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. Same question. You.
I'm here, Michael. I'm doing well. We're still in Louisiana, and I have not been contacted by the government.
Excellent. Excellent. We are going to have, in the second hour, maybe I'll just play this this bit of video as a teaser for the second hour. We're going to have, forget it, Jake, it's Pumpkin Fest. I don't know if y'all know this, but in Keene, New Hampshire, where the Free State Project, well, it's all over New Hampshire, but Ian Freeman and Free Keene live in Keene, New Hampshire, and something happened in Keene that made news that had nothing to do with the Free Keeniacs, which was there was a riot. A people riot and a police riot, I think. It's usually a police riot when they say there was a riot. It's usually just the police rioting. But Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live went out and got video of college kids throwing bottles at each other and wrecking things and breaking street signs. What most people call anarchy, but that's not anarchy at all. That is chaos and destruction. And we are going to... I'm going to play this little bit of video of Ian that Ian filmed. It's like a minute, 45 seconds, something like that. And then the second hour of this show, we're going to have Ian come on. And this is a teaching hospital, so I will mention this. Ben said, I think we should talk about this a lot in the first hour. And I'm like, no, you don't talk about something when you have a witness. You talk to the witness, then you talk about it. But I'm going to tease this by playing this. And this is a witness. We're playing a witness. We're playing a 1 minute, 45 second video that Ian shot yesterday in Keene. And this is going to be national news. It already is national news. We're the first radio show covering it with a witness today. And it's not like I'm saying, oh, well, we're scooping Free Talk Live by having someone from Free Talk Live on. It's more like we're on the same networks. We're on GCN. We're on LRN. We're on the same team. And their show isn't on until 5 hours after Ian's going to be on. So it's breaking national news. So we're going to have him on. So and he didn't come on at the top of the show because he was staying up late editing video and needed to get some sleep. So he's probably going to put more video up today. But here you go with this Pumpkin Fest 2014 riots. Police ignore massive bottle fights. Now, the Pumpkin Fest is a idyllic, wonderful little small town Brysonville kind of event they've had in Keene, New Hampshire for some years. It's delightful. They have the largest big pile of jack-o'-lanterns in the world, getting the Guinness Book of World Records. Kids get their faces painted. The leaves are changing color. It's idyllic. That's another reason this is going to be national news, is because it's a riot with a backdrop of like what looks like the smallest town, idyllic, great place to raise your kids, small town America. But it is a college town, and kids, a lot of kids feel entitled by what they learn in school and in society today, and it very much shows in this video. So here we go. Let's listen to this.
So David's been here for a little while. I was over on the other side. This is Blake Street, right? Right here?
The other end of Blake Street.
So this is where the huge bottle fight was going on for at least 10 minutes solid right down this street here. Guys apparently just stood here the entire time. I did. People were actually getting hit with bottles, and there was actual violence happening. There's another group of cops over there just standing there doing absolutely nothing. So you say they've been here for a while.
I went down the end of the street. I said I was going to show them the video of what, do you know what's happening on Blake Street right now?
Yeah.
You fucking stand here! You fucking stand! Justin Short said, we're well aware of what's happening. We're containing it. That was basically
they're containing it. All they did was stand here. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of people and hundreds of bottles, probably.
It's like a snowball fight.
I need more ammo. Get me a 12-pack. Yeah!
We need more ammo. Get me a 12-pack. That's what one of these college students just yelled.
College
it looked
kids.
To me more. It looked to me more like a giant game of dodgeball with college kids, beer, and beer bottles.
Yeah, which is not fun and not safe. And actual criminal activity. And there's a bunch of cops standing around there. And you think about cops all day long arresting people for victimless crimes. And they're standing there en masse in their riot gear watching some people throw lethal weapons at other people with bystanders and not throwing very accurately. And people were hurt. People were taken to the hospital and the cops just stood there. And I'm not blaming this all on the cops. These kids are reprehensible. They're horrible. I hope bad things happen to them. I really do. In life, not just now. The ones that were doing this.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering why the cops didn't take this as an opportunity to crack down.
I think they will later. And we have to remember, Keene had made national news by the police department getting a Bearcat, which is a militarized vehicle. It's basically a tank with wheels, getting a Bearcat in a town that pretty much doesn't need a Bearcat. That's something you need in a war zone. This may have looked like a war zone to people, but it's really not a Bearcat situation. A Bearcat situation is where there are bombs in the street and people shooting at you. And I think they will use this to justify the Bearcat and justify getting more gooned out, man, getting more riot gear, getting more Afghanistan war type training, etc.
Well, you remember last year at the Pumpkin Fest in Keene, they had snipers on the roofs.
They did. They had snipers on the roof. Not very good snipers.
Yeah.
Snipers with really bad situational awareness, because I remember one of the activists there in Keene climbed up on the roof, climbed up the fire ladder on the roof, went to take video of these guys from behind. And a sniper should never, and it was a sniper and a spotter. So it was a team. And they're from probably the federal government, maybe the state police. A sniper should never let anyone get behind them. I mean, a sniper is someone who works in a war zone to kill people from a long distance. If someone can get behind them, they can shoot them in the back of the head from 20 feet away. This guy got 20 or 30 feet away from them with a camera to shoot them with a camera, realized he didn't have his better lens, climbed back down without them knowing, got his lens, climbed back up and filmed them from behind without them ever knowing. So you got all these goons out there, federal, state, county, local, acting like James Bond, but not being very good at acting like James Bond.
With the training of Barney Fife.
Yeah, there you go. So I had dreams about Ian Freeman last night, and no homo, but I want to talk about that a little bit. I don't usually dream about people I know. Like, I don't even dream about my wife, or I don't dream about my close friends usually. I generally dream about kind of compilation people that have like different aspects of different people I've met throughout my life, or just random strangers. I guess I'm the kind of the center of my dreams. Make of that of what you will. But last night I had a dream about Ian, and he and I were hanging out, and I was supposed to go to his studio to do radio. I don't know if it was to do The Fiends or be a guest on his show or what it was, but there was an hour of radio I had to do, or 2 hours of radio I had to do. And it was kind of the comical adult radio version of the dream where you're naked in school, you know, where you look down and you're naked in school, like that classic embarrassment dream. But this dream wasn't like a failure dream. It's not indicative of anything I feel in my life. It was comical. I was laughing through the whole thing, but a little miffed because I kept trying to get to the studio. It was kind of like a video game. Then the goal is to get to the studio and do the radio show. And I kept getting waylaid. Like, Ian and I would stop and get tacos, and then we would stop, or I would stop without him and like help some guys fix their carburetor so they could get in their car and drive back to where they lived in Birmingham, Alabama. It was like a video game. Just random things kept coming up. And I kept looking at the clock and it kept getting later. I kept saying, well, we're in a break right now. If I can get back there, I can get back for the next segment, but never happened. So, that 2 hours of dream radio is never going to happen.
I think most people don't realize what it's like to daily have to deal with a show clock, knowing, you know, okay, I have, you know, 2 minutes left. I have a minute and a half left. And you know you have to fill that air, but you can't really start a whole new topic that you can cover in a minute and a half.
Yeah, and most people have to rule their life by a clock to some extent. You know, they have to go to a job. And we are only on radio 2 hours a day, but I do a lot of hours a day of prep for that and follow up for that. And especially people writing me and thinking I owe them some of my time for, because they're listening, or they, you know, did something once for me. It gets incredibly, and when you tell people like, I'm really busy. I know you're trying to be helpful, but I'm really busy. It kind of wears you down and kind of makes you go, I don't want to do this. You know, like, it doesn't bother me when the random strangers, you know, write the email or write the website and say like, you know, you're horrible and you beat people up and you're a tyrant and you have syphilis or whatever lies they make up. That doesn't bother me. The thing that wears me down is the people I know a little bit kind of like poking at me and demanding my time. I'm really gracious with my time, but I'm really protective of it too. And that's kind of we could talk about that later, just in general of dealing with that in life, I think.
Well, I don't think people realize how much time is a valuable commodity.
Yeah, they also don't realize how regimented time is on radio. Like, you know, I think Ben was getting at this, like, yeah, people work 8 hours a day, but then they're done usually and they come home. And during that 8 hours, they have a lot of tasks they have to accomplish. But very, very few of them are to an atomic clock. Like, there goes the music at exactly 18 minutes after the hour and 30 seconds the music comes up. It's kind of mind-blowing to have your part of your day that regimented. Think about it. We like it, but it's tough. We'll be back.
Structure is good.
Yep.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah, Pumpkin Fest. Anarchy or chaos? We say chaos. And we differentiate because the word anarchy is misused. Anarchy means an absence of tyrants. We knew that, but that was kind of the topic yesterday because someone's trying to school us on it. And we'll talk about that maybe at some point. But yeah, it doesn't mean chaos. It doesn't mean lack of order. And people are wrong to think that without leaders, there would constantly be blood in the streets. With leaders, there is apparently blood in the streets. And hour two, we're going to have Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live and Free Keen and citizen journalist, man on the street, boots on the ground in Keen, who has some of the best footage of what went on there. Let's play this CNN clip about Pumpkin Fest. Here we go.
Look at these pictures coming in. This was last night in Keene, New Hampshire. Police in riot gear had to use tear gas to try to disperse rowdy partiers who were allegedly throwing liquor and beer bottles, tearing down street signs, setting fires. Dozens of people were arrested, and multiple ambulances were sent to the scene.
I got hit with a Jack Daniels bottle, like, across the face. I was in the health center for a little bit, but I left.
It's ridiculous. This is not Pumpkin Fest. I mean, from Rhode Island, we're supposed to have a fun weekend, and this is stupid.
Fires. This is fires. This is police and riot gear.
Take the left side of the street, folks.
Yep. All right. I think I predict that Ian's footage of this is going to end up on national news. He always puts a free keen like watermark in the corner of his videos and allows anyone to use it. But that's good because it gets the Free Keen name out there, or the Free State Project name out there, or the Ideas of Liberty out there, unless, you know, some news outlet covers it up with their little bug. But hopefully they won't. But he has the best footage of it. He has he went to a citizen and said, "Hey, can I sit on your porch and film this?" He talked to the guy for a minute, and the guy invited him up to the second floor to get a great view of it during the day when the kids were all throwing bottles at each other and ripping street signs out and acting like complete entitled idiots. Go ahead, Chandler.
It sounds to me like these kids don't have good time management skills.
They don't have good time management skills. Some would say they have too much free time on their hands. And
well, yeah, exactly.
And that's a good
going out there starting riots.
Yeah, and we can segue into time management from this. But I think they have problems bigger than time management. I think they have basic. I hate to sound like the old guy saying I think they were raised wrong. One thing I blame, I really think, and this would sound bizarre to a lot of people, but I really think that marijuana being illegal leads to this kind of behavior with people who would kind of be on the fence about it. Because I think having all these nanny laws of things with serious consequences make it hard for young people to differentiate good from evil. Because when there's something like smoking pot or, you know, any other staying up later than you're allowed to, walking on the street, being peaceful, any number of nanny laws that they arrest people for, I think it makes people say, well, I know that's not immoral, so maybe stealing isn't immoral too, because the penalty's the same.
It's interesting. I think on past shows we've talked about the progression of the nanny laws and the tyranny. And I mean, I can remember, and I hate to sound like the old guy, I'm only 36, but I can remember when I was a teenager, we didn't really fear cops quite as much and have such a disdain for them. And, you know, me and my friends would be out walking the streets at 1 or 2 in the morning. Our only concern was that if we got stopped, you know, we had to make sure that we were cool so that they didn't hassle us and search us. But other than that, we never had any problems. And nowadays, as this type of tyranny ramps up, I think you're right. The younger generation can't differentiate between good laws and bad ones, so to speak. So it's they just kind of throw it all into a pile, and it leads to this sort of really lame behavior. I mean, yeah. I can't see
and
what
these kids are yelling at the cops, and some of them are kind of challenging the cops, like walking toward them and then running away. I think that they can't differentiate to like when to dislike cops or when to like them. And I think they imagine that they're fighting some cause when they're really drunk and amped up on adrenaline and groupthink. And somebody starts throwing a bottle. I also want you to remind me, Chandler, to ask Ian if he thinks that there's any false flag component to this. You know, if the powers that be, you know, dressed some young goon cop up like a college student, had him come in and start throwing bottles to see if it would spread. Because they really do want to militarize this town, and they had more resistance than any small town, and they got their Bearcat anyway. So we'll be back.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. We were going to talk about time management, but we don't have enough time managed to talk about time management right now. Ben Stone is going to talk about the concept of a provocateur, because we're implying the possibility, or at least wondering, if the riot, the pumpkin riots, the pumpkin riots of 2014 might have had a provocateur component in them. And I do want to stress, like, I'm not laughing and making light of these riots. They were serious, and people got seriously hurt, and property damage was done to both public and private property. And kids just were acting like punks, and I don't mean punk rockers. I mean entitled life without consequences, mommy and daddy pay the bills, you know, never had to work a real job, basically probably have a good job waiting for you after college because you're connected through some East Coast old boy network. You know, basically the people that are going to be running the world in 10 years. Yeah, just throwing bottles and breaking stuff because they live a life without consequences. And it only is funny because of the connection of Pumpkin Fest, which is as idyllic as it sounds. I've seen pictures from it. And when there's not a riot this year and there's not snipers on the roof last year, you know, previous years, and even last year, you know, if you ignore the snipers, it really looks like the quintessential small town autumn, leaves changing a million colors. Like, boy, wouldn't you want to bring your 6-year-old there and have a fun day and eat some cotton candy and take pictures of jack-o'-lanterns and just have fun and listen to weird little bands that the city hires and things like that. It's a riot on an unusual backdrop, and the national press will go nuts with that. It's not, you know, inner city. It's not Ferguson. There's no political component. It's just spoiled, white, rich brats acting horribly on an idyllic background. And they're all fairly well-dressed, too. So,
well, I think you have to make the differentiation, too, that a lot of it is the college town mentality.
It was college kids, and it was college kids from other towns. There was this was not townies. This was not Free Keen people. This wasn't, you know, the old folks carving the pumpkins with their kids, old folks like me. It was basically people from out of town and people from in town from colleges.
Yeah, well, it kind of concerns me. I mean, obviously, New Hampshire is my neighbor, and I'd hate to see this sort of both militarization of the police to an extreme extent and this erratic behavior from the young folks come to Maine. You know, we don't see that. We have festivals like that around here, and we haven't seen that too much yet, and I hope it's not a growing trend.
And you don't want a bear cat at your pumpkin festival.
Well, yeah, but I told you, Oxford County, which is a very rural and poor county, just got a bear cat, which blows my mind.
Yeah. So, Ben Stone, what's a provocateur, and why should people go to rats-nosnitch.com? That's rats-nosnitch.com, and download the free ebook from Claire Wolf on how to recognize agents, provocateurs, snitches, and informers and informants.
Well, first and foremost, that is an excellent little book. It just takes a few minutes to read it. It is well worth the time to go over and download it and have it and then refer back to it and even share it with people. Even if you're not an activist, or even if you're not, you know, behind some political cause
because cops try to arrest people all day, every day. And people are more and more people who've never broken a law in their life that they know about, who, you know, make sure to register their pets and their guns and their children and their bicycles and apply for the proper permits and jump through all the hoops, still end up getting, you know, hassled by the cops, searched, proned out on the ground, gun to their head, dragged into a hospital and have their butt searched in a painful procedure that they get a bill for. All sorts of things, man. So you should know this stuff. Basically, it's getting to the point where, you know, when rights are outlawed, people who are right will become outlaws.
Well, one of the things you have to look for, too, and I think Claire points it out in her book, is the folks that kind of goad you into maybe not violent action, but very provocative action. Those tend to be the ones that have maybe infiltrated your group. And if they're not infiltrators, they're just plain stupid and you don't want to follow them anyway.
Yeah. So, Ben, go ahead.
So what we've observed, and this has been going on for a couple hundred years that we know of, is that governments and government police specifically, there's an economic reward for them to justify their existence. They can get more funding. The more drama there is in these situations like what happened in Keene, the more funding they can get for their department. And there's all kinds of economic incentives for them to behave this way. But what we know that they do, not what we theorize they might do, but what we have absolutely proof over and over of them doing, is they will send an actual police officer that maybe fits the demographics of whoever the group is, and they'll try to put them in as plain clothes as possible and put them among the crowds of people that are there demonstrating or having fun or doing whatever they're doing. And those people will either attempt to convince other people in the crowd to do something dramatic, or they will actually, there's been cases where the cops themselves were caught carrying bricks and rocks and were the ones that were actually throwing this stuff at the cops in order to get the riot going to justify the cops rushing in and using their tear gas and everything. So now we don't know that that happened in Keene. We have no evidence at this time because we haven't even talked to Ian about it. But we have no evidence at this time that any of that happened in Keene. But we absolutely know it has happened over and over. It the phrase provocateur comes from the French Revolution time, when the king sent his guards in to do exactly that, to provoke the crowd into enough violence that they would have the excuse to go out and basically make an example out of them. So we do see this over and over. It happened in Canada just a few years ago, where the police were caught red-handed in partial uniform. They had boots on that were issued by the police department, and they were caught with rocks in their hand at the time.
Wow. Well, yeah, in Seattle with the WTO convention a few years back, they did that too. They were wearing black masks, pretending to be these vile anarchists throwing bottles and such, and they were actually found to be police forces.
Whose dog is yakking?
That would be mine.
This is a teaching hospital, and we do point out mistakes. Can you shut a door there, brother?
Oh, it is. I got to go and bring her out in the other room.
All right,
I'll be
back.
I'm
going to let you turn your mic down and go take care of it, please, and I will talk to Ben for a few minutes. Let me know when you get back. Okay, so Ben, tell me more about the history of agents provocateurs, which I think is the plural of that.
Sure. A really well-known version of this story, and there's a little controversy about it, so we're not exactly absolutely certain on this particular one, but in the early 1900s, there was a situation in Chicago where there was a large group of union activists there, and there was a conflict with the police, and out of nowhere, bombs start blowing up. And it really appears as though there was an anarchist, or a person who called themselves an anarchist, who was arrested for this, and then suddenly he figured out how to make a bomb in his jail cell with just the items he had in there, and according to the official story, he blew himself up. But the likelihood is that he was just killed by police. And the likelihood is also that he was just picked up as a flunky, somebody who had worked with the police before, was known to be an activist that was infiltrating the group of anarchists that were there. And there had even been flyers that went out describing him, saying, "Don't have anything to do with him. He's an infiltrator." And so it's very likely that he was used by the police at those riots in Chicago in the early 1900s. And there's been other cases as well. There was a case, I believe it was in Philadelphia just a few years back, where police zipped in and basically snatched out of a crowd one of their officers who was being exposed as a provocateur. And so they rushed in and got the guy out of there before anything bad could happen to him. But like I said, there's an economic incentive for police to do things like this. First off, you know, if there's no reason to have the police, if the crowds are always peaceful and if there's always just fun-loving gatherings, the police look silly when they show up with all this expensive gear that they get to play with. So there's, you know, there's an economic incentive. And then there's also the justify your job and justify your existence as part of the incentive. If there's never any riots and if there's never any, you know, bad people doing bad things, then people start to wonder, why am I paying all these taxes for all these police with their fancy gear and their SWAT teams if we never have to use them? And well, so that's.
Yeah, an unfortunate aspect of private, of public police, as opposed to police. And I'm not saying the opposite of that would be private police in the sense of like only the rich Mr. Burns types would have their own private army. I'm talking in the sense of, you know, neighborhoods would get together. There's a lot of ways it could be allocated and paid for, but the basic thing is police from the public. You know, the ones that say they protect and serve you, but more and more and more, some of them to the point of it's a really big problem, are shooting first, asking questions later, shooting people's dogs when they don't need to, and mainly just pulling people over and searching them and trying to get into their house and into their head and into their phone and into their life and into their secrets to try to find something on them. Even if the person's not committing any aggression or anything when there's any victim. You know, we have a saying, no victim, no crime. And that's very true. I mean, if there's not a victim, there's not a crime. But that's the legitimate moral way it should be. But that's not the way it is in a society where people are forced at the point of a gun with taxation to pay for police who are ever increasingly militarized. The problem is, in a private police world, police effectiveness would be measured by a lack of crime, by a lack of events where there's a victim. In the public situation where we have now, where we all, you know, pay our patriotic duty and pay taxes to pay for the police, who have increasing budgets, increasing militarization, and an increasing attitude that everyone they encounter is an enemy to be tased, handcuffed, arrested and or shot. They measure accountability by arrests. This is the biggest problem with the whole system, other than that you don't have a choice to opt out of it and they arrest you for stupid things. So basically, they try to arrest as many people as possible to justify their existence. That's how they measure it. And that's a really horrible and inaccurate metric for measuring the efficacy of a police organization. We'll be back.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty Project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
There's the music.
Yep, there's the music. And we're coming back on the Freedom Fiends.
And that's why we have liner music. So, we're going to have some redemption in the third act of this hour. And then we're bringing on Ian Freeman, eyewitness, videographer, citizen journalist, boots on the ground from Keene, New Hampshire, who filmed the pumpkin riots yesterday. And CNN's covering it, but they don't have Ian. We have Ian. And Ian will be talking about it at length on Free Talk Live 5 hours from now. And Derek J. will probably be talking about it on the Freedom Fiends tonight at midnight Central Time. But in about 10 minutes, we're going to have Ian Freeman on, and he will be telling us the straight dope from the street, from the boots on the ground. But So we like to, we're a teaching hospital. We like to explain what we do. We're going to have a redemption in the third act. We have a bigger one at the end of each show if we can help it. But we like to have one at the end of each hour, especially since on talk radio, sometimes a station will just pick up 1 hour and not both. So guys, go ahead and give me the redemption in the third act of why we shouldn't just go, blah, the sky is falling, because police are more, are increasingly more and more militarized and acting like soldiers in an as an occupying force in our country.
Well, when we were talking about agent provocateurs and how we have to watch out for that to avoid situations like you're seeing in Keene, it's pretty simple. Whether you're a group striving to promote the ideas of liberty or you're an individual, if you adopt and follow the basic principles of the non-aggression principle, you know, just be that thin libertarian, you can avoid associating with those people that would kind of promote you to use violence to accomplish your means, because in the end, you know that that's not going to accomplish anything. And in fact, it could backfire on you.
I don't know that thin libertarianism is the term to use there, because it sounds like you're implying that thick libertarians are going to be out throwing bottles at each other, which is not
true. Oh, no, not at all. I mean, just when you're addressing that issue, just stick to those core principles of not using violence and using voluntary cooperation between individuals to promote what you feel is just.
All right, Ben, what say you?
Yeah, and I agree 100%. And in addition to that, like Chandler was also mentioning, the more decentralized an organization is, the safer it is for the individuals within that organization. And the less likelihood that you are to have a leader or a head of that organization, the less vulnerable you are to having that leader picked off for, you know, one excuse or the other. And by picked off, I don't necessarily mean killed. They can be, they can just get tired and burn out and go away, or they can, you know, be picked up for something else or whatever. But the less centralized an organization is, and the more you depend on the individual and individuals making individual decisions, that way nobody's responsible. If you've got one guy in your group that does something stupid, nobody else is responsible for that guy. You know, you want to go do that stuff? Go do that stuff, but we're not with you.
Yeah.
And the more decentralized you are, the less of a we used to say it this way back in the olden days. We would, if there would be five or six guys hanging around, we'd have our bikes parked or whatever, and we're standing around, and somebody would come up being bikers. Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody would come up and say, "Hey guys, one hand grenade to take you all out." And that thought was not that, you know, anybody was going to throw a hand grenade at us. It was just the idea that the larger your group is. Say it again.
It's a metaphor.
Yeah. The larger your group is, the bigger your target is. But the less centralized you are, the less of a target you are.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, too, because when you're less centralized and you just follow those basic principles, you can all operate on the same wavelength, but individually, without having to centrally plan everything. It's much less confusing.
And the government has a name for that. It's actually used in a Fight Club, too, referring to a violent group. And we're talking about nonviolent groups. But isolated cells capable of acting alone is the government name for that. And the thing is, they can take out an organization, but they cannot take out an idea, which is one of the many, many reasons I've never really felt an inclination to join a liberty group. There are a lot of them out there. Some of them do good work. The whole idea is boring to me. I've built this loosely confederated bunch of freedom fiends, but I'm also trying really hard to teach all of you to be able to do this without me and start your own shows if this one went away for some reason. We'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends, where we will be talking to Ian Freeman, eyewitness, boots on the ground, videographer who saw what happened in Keene yesterday at the Pumpkin Riots of 2014, and I don't say that lightly. People were hurt. It was horrible. There was property damage done, and it wasn't cool, and it's making national news. We're going to have Ian on. After this trip to the market, we'll be back at 6 minutes after the hour. Thank you.
Worms.
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 Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends, meow. Good afternoon, Amarillo. That's the one station that joins us live only for the second hour, so I like to welcome them sometimes. Amarillo, welcome. This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I'm talking to Chandler St. Pierre. Are you there?
I'm here.
Are you safe? Have you been contacted by the government?
I'm safe and comfortable. No government action to speak of.
All right. We have a very special guest for the next half hour. Forget it, Jake. It's Pumpkin Fest. We have Mr. Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live at freetalklive.com, from FreeKeene, FreeKeene.com, and KeenVention.info, which is his fun little hootenanny he's got. Coming up, is it coming up or is it happening?
Yeah, man, that's coming up in 2 weeks.
Yeah, man, excellent. All right, so Ian Freeman is a good friend of ours. He's an activist. He's a radio fella. He helped us get on radio. He's kind of like our big brother. Like Ian is to me what a sponsor is to someone in AA. He's my radio radio sponsor, and I don't mean the people that pay our bills. I mean the guy that guides me through the forest of tyranny of setting up mixers and calling affiliates. So, welcome, Ian Freeman. How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm pretty good, all things considered. I was up till about 5 in the morning last night. There were some riots here in Keene, New Hampshire.
Wow, that sounds ironic. Keene sounds like the mellowest place you'd want to go raise your kids and retire.
It really is. 364 days out of the year, Keene's a pretty mellow, easygoing place, and it's not like a police state. But last night, it certainly was, and that's due to the Pumpkin Festival. Which is, I guess Keene holds the Guinness Book of World Records record for having the most lit carved pumpkins in one place at one time. And I think it's something around 30,000, but honestly, I don't keep close track of those numbers. So the festival attracts tens of thousands of visitors from all across New England. And many of those thousands are college age people who come because Keene State College is here. And so they already have a bunch of friends living here. So they come to see their friends and party in the streets, and the partying in the streets goes on all day long. And of course, drunken college students get drunker all day, and then they start to get a little bit rowdy, and then that amps up, and then the police come in with riot gear.
Is it still going on, or is it quelled, as the police would say?
No, it's over. Pumpkin Fest never spills over into the next day, so... it was quelled last night. I do Free Talk Live until 10 p.m. Eastern, and when I got done, I got out there at around 11, and it was pretty much dying down. The police kind of had put the kibosh on the real thug rioters that were out there really causing problems. Like, you know, there was at least one car that was flipped over. There was a fire set in the middle of the street, several fights. There was a bottle war that went on that I was actually witness to earlier in the day. And that's the video that I have put up thus far over at freekeen.com, which shows hundreds of people. It shows probably of those hundreds, a couple dozen folks who were throwing bottles at one another for a solid 15 minutes. Obviously, I made an edited version of that, but the raw footage is also available on the Freeman TV Raw channel on YouTube. But it was pretty crazy. I mean, there was a lot of broken bottles in the streets and people were getting hit by bottles. And the funny thing was the police, whose supposed job it is to protect, were nowhere to be found. Not to say that they couldn't be found. They were actually a block away and apparently were well aware of the bottle fight that was going on. And the official response, according to one person who talked to them, was that they have it contained.
There were no deaths, right?
There were rumors yesterday about deaths. I have yet to see any confirmation about that.
Well, here's the thing. One of the services you provide for free for the Liberty Mission is that you have the police, the Keen police scanner. You can listen to it on your over the internet on freekeen.com. There's a link there. Yeah. And
most of the time it works really well. Last night, unfortunately, it went down during some of the prime time rioting, and that was actually the first thing I had to do when I got off the air on Free Talk Live was go over and figure out what the hell was going wrong. And when I got it back online, it jumped up to 100 listeners almost instantly, and then a little bit later was up to over 300 simultaneous streams. And this is a scanner feed that usually has no more than five or so listeners on it.
Yeah, and it usually is dead. I mean, there's you know, I've had it on for a half hour before and heard not a peep and thought it was broken.
Last night it was nonstop traffic all night.
Well, I turned it on, and within 2 minutes I heard – one of the first things I heard on it was a police officer saying, that individual is DOA. Can you call the tow truck?
Really?
And I was following tweets of Keen on Twitter, and somebody said, just heard on the police scanner in Keen, somebody's dead. And there were people tweeting about that someone had died.
Yeah, so like I said, there were rumors about it. I've yet to see the confirmation. The rumor I heard last night from one of the college students on the streets, because after 11 o'clock I went back out and, you know, checked things out. When I got off work, the rumor from one college student was that a girl, a college-age girl, had died due to an asthma problem. She had been shot with pepper balls by the police and could not breathe as a result of that and suffocated to death. That's, again, unsubstantiated rumor.
Was Derek J out filming?
Derek J was out earlier in the night, yes. There were a number of activists who were out while I was on Free Talk Live doing cop block outreach in the streets of Keene, handing out literally what it seemed like thousands of cop block Know Your Rights flyers. We've got a custom Know Your Rights flyer that we designed for here in New Hampshire. That's the Keene cop block group, and we've been flyering the campus for weeks. And then we actually had been so successful at it that almost everybody on Keene State College was familiar with it as of a few weeks ago. And so we held off, and then last night hit them real hard with, because there was, again, thousands more people in town who had not heard about cop block. So it was a great night to inform people of their rights.
I have a suggestion. Next time something happens in Keene, I would love it personally, selfishly, if you or Derek tweeted or let us know you're not arrested, because you were not. Derek tweets when he's eating a sandwich, and there was like nothing from Derek or you. There was stuff from Cantwell, but there was nothing from you guys during all of this. And I don't have time for that.
I mean, that's I'm sorry, but there's enough going on here on the ground in Keene. Yeah. If you were in Keene, you would know I'd be fine, because we've got a got a two-way radio system that we have set up here with the activists, and it's very easy to get a hold of somebody. So Chris Cantwell was concerned for my well-being at one point later in the night, and he called out asking if I was all right, and I gave a quick call back letting him know. But you know, when you're in the midst of a situation like this, you don't have time to pull up a phone and tweet out to, you know, some mass audience. I mean, I guess somebody could do that, but I've got all kinds of other things I'm trying to do, like record video and you know, and not get arrested.
So if we want to throw some blame here, I don't know if we want to assign percentages, but drunken, rowdy kids breaking stuff and being violent, and police, are they both culpable in this in your eyes?
Yeah, I mean, I would say so from what I heard, from the stories I heard, because I missed the real awful part of it because I was on the air. But from the activists I talked to who were down in the thick of it, they did make it sound like the police response, the violent police response, just amped up the instigators in the college crowd. And so it created more of a violence kind of a situation. But at the same time, there should be more creative ways to deal with these situations rather than just out and out thuggery and or ignoring it completely. And I don't have the answer as far as how that could be done. But, it was disappointing, of course, to see the police supposedly protecting people, but then again, not doing a damn thing when people were actually getting hurt.
Yeah.
So I have no problem if the cops come in and break up a fight. That doesn't bother me. I think that's their appropriate role. I think that the police should be acting as peace officers. They should not be targeting people for underage drinking and open container. Now, to be fair, I didn't see that happening during Pumpkin Fest, but I imagine it definitely was. I mean, that's typically what the police do in the college neighborhood around here.
Is Pumpkin Fest always have some craziness? I mean, Last year you posted, there were snipers on the roof, which was ridiculous.
They were back this year too.
Ugh. You ever find out what agency they're from?
No, there was what was called a 91A request, a Freedom of Information request here in New Hampshire, and that went nowhere.
Okay. But what I've seen pictures of Pumpkin Fest and video from years gone by, other than the sniper presence, it looks idyllic. I didn't know that it was
Pumpkin Fest itself is a very peaceful event, despite thousands of people being in the streets. I mean, the main street of Keene is basically where Pumpkin Fest is. And the rioting that if you've gone to freekeene.com and you've watched that video with the bottle war, that was not going on at Pumpkin Fest. That was going on maybe 2 or 3 blocks away from Pumpkin Fest.
During Pumpkin Fest or after?
Pumpkin Fest goes on throughout the day. It starts probably at like 10 in the morning and goes through about 9 or so, 9 or 9:30 or something like that. So it was during Pumpkin Fest, but the actual Pumpkin Fest zone did not include that sort of violence. That happened in the college neighborhood.
Chandler, you had a question?
Yeah, actually, you just answered one of my questions, which was the proximity of the riots. Also, do you know what sparked this whole thing?
Well, this whole thing is a pretty big thing, right? So there were different incidents that had gone on throughout the day. The reason I went down there in the first place, we have a system here in Keene called Keene 411, and you can text a phone number, and then that text gets blasted out to whoever has signed up to receive those. And so I got a Keene 411 saying that there were riot police in the college neighborhood. And what I'd been doing up until that point was just doing flyering at Pumpkin Fest, just, you know, doing Bitcoin outreach and stuff like that.
And that's a private thing, right? For Keene 411.
No, it's actually public. You can it's a Twitter feed, but it's not done by
the government. It's not something the city does. It's something you and your friends do.
Of course not. The city's not going to do anything for the activists.
Hey, you know, people listening,
we wouldn't count on them anyway to do anything for us. But yeah, Keene 411 was set up by activists and has been a fairly useful little service. So somebody sent out notice that there was riot police in the college neighborhood, and I decided that I would cease my flyering and go over and see what the hell was going on. By the time I got there, the riot police were not doing any sort of clearing or arresting, so I didn't witness what had happened there. But from what I understand, there's video up of that. I have yet to see it. But when I arrived, I was on Blake Street, which was where there was a huge crowd of people. Hundreds of people were just in the streets, just a big party in the streets, basically. And the police were about a block away on either side of it. So the police were in visible distance of this, but, you know, they didn't do anything. And I actually wanted to get a better shot of the crowd sort of from above. And I wanted to go up on one of the porches. And I'd been around there a lot doing cop block activities, so it's not like I was an unknown person. And I asked one of the folks on the porch, one of the porches that was less crowded, asked if I could come up there. And the dude said, yeah, do you want to come up to my room and go out on the roof? And I said, yeah, absolutely. So he actually went up there, let me out. And by the time I was up there, the bottle war had begun.
The footage is amazing. It was great that he let you up there. Did you know him, or did he know of you, or you were just polite?
He may have known of me, or maybe not. I really don't know.
We'll be back with more about the Pumpkin Fest melee fights, bottle wars in Keene, New Hampshire, with Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live after this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. When I needed a robust and secure home business computer network for my radio show, I hired QPG.us. QPG.us did a great job with a complex custom setup and did it remotely over the internet. Whether you have one computer or 1,000, QPG.us can set up your small business network, no matter where in the world you live, fast and at a reasonable price. QPG.us is a liberty-loving company that can also help you with networking, domain name registration, DNS, email, SSL, VPNs, and more. That's QPG.us.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah.
Meow.
Meow. It's the Freedom Fiends. Ian, can we get a meow? You're so...
Meow. Nut.
Thank you. And a worms.
Worms.
Worms. Ian won't give us a worms. Ian's very serious radio.
I did give you a worm.
I didn't hear your worms.
It was deep worms.
Give me a deep worms, please.
Worms.
Worms. Okay. So we're talking with Ian Freeman from Free Talk Live and freekeen.com and keenvention.info about the pumpkin riots yesterday. That's such a misnomer of name, but you know, the mainstream media is running with that. And so is the Twitter sphere. A lot of people are asking if this was in something with an agent provocateur, you know, if the police wanted to justify their militarization and getting all their tanks and toys and assault rifles and body armor and getting more of it and getting more training to act like soldiers in Afghanistan. If they sent in some young cop dressed as a college student to throw a bottle and start it all, what do you think?
I don't have any speculation on that. If I had to give you an answer, I would say that probably not. I don't think that the agent's provocateur would likely to be brought out for a college party as much as, you know, trying to infiltrate protesters with a real message. I mean, yeah. These people in some of the videos are chanting USA, USA.
Is that what they were chanting? Oh, my God.
Well, at one point, I mean, they were chanting that. They chanted other things as well, like FTP, which I don't believe I can say on the airwaves what that actually stands for.
Yeah. Fuzzy toilet paper.
That's file transfer protocol.
Yeah, very
good. So, no, I don't think so. It seems unlikely they would be agent provocateuring just a drunken college party. It's not unlikely that there would be a fight started there. And, you know, whereas in a protest – protesters try their hardest to keep their fellows in line and to make sure that there's no violence. So that's where an agent provocateur is useful.
Yeah. Yep. So Chandler, you had a question.
Yeah. I'm really curious to hear more about the two-way radio communication system you have, plus the 411 tweet system. I think that's a very useful tool for activists in any area in the digital age.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are two of our tools. We have more than that, but they're two of the most useful ones. Two-way communications on handheld radios is so affordable now. There's a great little radio called the Baofeng UV-5R, and you can go and pick one of those up on Amazon for about $40. It has the feature set of a $300 ham radio. So it's got, you know, you can program it with your computer with a simple programming cable and some freeware software. And so we've got, you know, custom channels that we've made on this thing. It's UHF and VHF, and, you know, it's got all kinds of features, and it's really awesome. And it's so cheap, you can smash it on the ground on accident, and it's not a big deal. You know, you can just buy another one.
Is that the ones that you had at Porkfest?
Yep, that's correct.
So at Porkfest, we had a couple of those. Derek J. and I had them, and there were kids messing with the frequencies, just getting on there and just babbling to mess with people as like little kids. I think it was like 8 year olds. It sounded like, is that a problem in Keene?
No, in Keene we use, PL tones that will keep anybody that doesn't have the right tone set off the channel. Ooh. Essentially. It can still be monitored by anyone. They, you know, they're not scrambled. The communications aren't private, but it will block out, for the radio itself will block out any unwanted communications. At Porkfest, there was a cross-band channel going on where one of the marine band channels was being crossed over with an FRS channel, which is where all the kids were coming from. So you guys could have just moved to another channel and you probably would have been fine.
Yeah, I think they're on two of them, and there's what, 40, 50, something like that?
Oh, there's an S-load of channels available. You've got all of the UHF and VHF standard bands. So these things are, you know, the FCC, I'm sure, is not a big fan of these radios because it essentially allows anybody, you know, with $40 to have a ham radio and broadcast on ham radio frequencies and marine band frequencies and other places where they claim that you need to have a license to broadcast.
Now, is this something that's built off of the emergency system? Because I have a friend who's a ham radio operator and he does local volunteer work, you know, if there's floods or whatever.
No, this is just a channel that we've selected for the activists to use here in Keene. And we have a repeater as well, which is very handy.
Okay.
You know, I think at some point, Ian, I know you don't have time to make 90-minute videos like I do for like I did for explaining podcasting and audio production. But I think you are a great inspiration to activists everywhere of all of the networking you've done, not just with people, but with technology. You know, you rebroadcast the Keene police scanner, you run a radio station, you figured out how to get solid internet no matter what. You have these handheld radios, you have a bunch of different blogs, you get out there with a camera and shoot activist video. You don't do a lot of interviews. I would like to ask you right now if you would come on sometime with a lot of notice and do a whole Freedom Fiends and just talk about details of how you do all that and how people can set it up.
Sure, anytime you want me.
Excellent, man. Thank you. Go to freekeen.com and keenvention.info and freetalklive.com.
Yeah, I got a new video coming up later today.
Cool, man. Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Hey, this is Squisscar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network. A collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Do it again, Chandler.
Dude, I gotta tell you.
Yeah?
I love this effects processor. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. I try to spread the wealth and not in the way that Obama, who's a liar, a socialist, and his feet stinks, wants to, as my dad says, not the way he wants to spread the wealth. And, you know, I would even put George Bush, both of them, in there. All politicians want to spread the wealth by taking it away from you. I like to spread the wealth voluntarily to where, you know, I buy a lot of audio gear. I've replaced a heroin addiction 20 years ago with an addiction to audio gear. And I'm not so much addicted to stockpiling audio gear as I am to trying it, having it, And then I usually give it to my co-hosts when I'm done with it and get something different.
Well, I'll tell you, man, I've come a long way from the crappy blog talk radio podcasting. I mean, it's amazing, you know, through your help and your assistance. You know, I've got the mixer, the effects processor, some good programs. It's great. I really like it.
Yeah, and our audio is not as great as it usually is. We're having little Skype issues and internet issues, and we do have somebody building a replacement for Skype, custom building it. Derek Slopey is building Fiend Phone for the Fiends and for the rest of the world. And if you want to contribute or just learn about it, you can go to F-E-E-N, that's Foxtrot Echo Echo November Phone, like the thing you talk into, .com, fiendphone.com. So awesome. We want to talk about time management. We didn't have time to talk about time management before. And we're going to talk about time management now. I've written a book that's about half of the book is about time management. It's called A User's Manual for the Human Experience. And I will link it in the show notes. You can also Google that. You can buy the paperback on Amazon. You can download a free ebook or audiobook at, I'll just give this out, it's michaelwdean.com/, and then this is all capital letters at the end, you whatever the initials are for User's Manual for the Human Experience. But I will link that in the show notes.
You know, it's funny, Michael. I think I've told this story before, but...
go ahead, Chandler.
Yeah. A friend of mine sent me your book and said, yo, you got to read this book. It's really great. And this was before I started listening to the Freedom Fiends.
Really?
And I'm reading this book and I'm like, ah, this is pretty good stuff. I like it. And I'm thinking, you know, it's probably this stuffy old professor guy with a bow tie writing this book. And then I listened to the Freedom Fiends and then I met you.
Yeah, there's a lot of time management books out there. And I actually wrote this kind of as a reaction to them at a time when a lot of them were coming out. And a lot of them are bestsellers. And I did something weird, and I do a lot of things that are weird, that I would be rich if I didn't do so many weird things. And basically, A User's Manual for the Human Experience is kind of two books in one. The first half of the book is about getting creepy people out of your life, or people that waste your time, or, you know, people that, I mean, not even people that mean ill, but just, you know,
psychic vampires.
Yeah. Or even just soul mosquitoes, which is the mild form of psychic vampires. You know, life is short and you have to prioritize. And this is something I'm getting into more and more and more with, as this radio show gets more popular, is, like I said, like, you know, occasionally you get haters who say horrible things about you just to mess with you. Those people don't bother me. What bothers me is the people I know who I've communicated with who are either close to me, you know, not even, I'm not singling anyone out, and anyone who thinks I'm talking about them, I'm not, or I'm talking about them and 1,000 other people. The things that really drag you down are the people that you know who want things from you over and over and over, and you know, don't respect your boundaries when you say, hey, I'm having a bad day, my cat's sick, leave me alone, which has been happening in the past couple of days. One of our cats is really sick. But anything like that where life comes up, and I'm always happy to give of myself and give advice, and I know a bit about a lot of different things. I'm kind of a jack of all trades and master of a few, or not even master of any, just good enough to teach somebody else how to do what they need to do and master one of them. And I'm always happy to do that, but it becomes a time management issue when you're getting, you know, over 100 actionable emails a day. And I guess one of the problems I have is feeling I need to answer things immediately and get them off my plate, which time management people will tell you is not the way to do it. The way to do it is to, you know, but I can't do that. And part of my time management, and this works for me, is immediately answering almost every email as it comes in, even if I'm doing a show. But the thing I did that's weird with this book was I made two books in one. And a lot of people told me, make this two different books. They would be too strong. You know, take half of the book, first half of the book, expand the length of it. Take the second half of the book, expand the length of it, and make it two different books. But I feel like so many things are organically connected as one piece. Like, you know, people said the same thing with my movie Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. Like, make it the gun movie and the weed movie. And I'm like, no, the whole point of the movie is that there's no such thing as half free, and people who believe in one right should back the people who believe in the other right, even if they don't agree with that or like that other right. That is the point of that movie. And I did the same thing with the User's Manual for the Human Experience. I feel like there's no point in time management, and the second half of the book is about time management and learning to run your own company. And I feel like there's no point in that or no place in that until you've learned to deal with you know, soul mosquitoes and soul vampires and people that don't necessarily want to do you harm, but just constantly pick away at you. That is a form of time management. It's basically what I was saying. So that book did not become a bestseller. I sold about 1,000 copies of it. I gave away about 10,000 copies of it. And a lot of what I do, I mean, people ask, what do you do for a living? Or, you know, someone says, hey, I haven't talked to you in a while. What have you been up to lately? And it's like, I don't have a clear answer for either of those things. What I do for a living is about 10 different things that form about 40 different small revenue streams that add up to a living. And, you know, what have I been doing lately? Working. That's always my answer. You know, I work. I'm on the computer about from the time I get up till the time I fall asleep. And I probably spend 2 hours aggregate away from the computer during the time I'm up till the time I'm down. And that's what I do for a living. So, yeah, man.
That's kind of funny because my kid asked me the other day, what does Michael do for a living anyway, Dad? And I had a hard time explaining that.
Yeah. And that's another reason that we don't people have asked us to add a video stream. I look really cranky when I'm on a computer, even when I'm really enjoying myself and feeling productive. I have filmed myself using a computer. I look like I'm scowling a lot, and I look really cranky and bored, and nobody wants to watch that, but I'm not cranky and bored, so I'm into just audio only. I also like audio only because it's far more portable. You know, you can't or you shouldn't watch a movie or a video of somebody talking while you're driving a car, but you can certainly listen to a podcast or a radio show.
There's something to be said about the video aspect. I mean, generally speaking, I like the portability, like you said. But I was on a show the other night, and we did video because I guess their show was on Ustream. And it was interesting to watch the interaction, but the lag killed me. I was just, after a while, I was like, eh, time to turn off.
It also, video always also degrades the audio quality.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's the thing.
You're sharing one tube, and yeah, man, I'm all about the audio quality. And, you know, the most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. And it was the first form of human communication before there was even written language or pictographs. People were grunting to each other and then forming that into sentences and forming that into languages. And because it's the oldest, most direct form of communication, it's still the most direct form of communication. I listen to an inordinate amount of podcasts. I don't read a lot of books anymore. And I really don't feel that is a bad thing. I mean, there's some people who are like, oh, you don't read, you're dumb, you're bad. And it's like, I read a lot. I just don't read books. I don't have time to read books. I used to be, you know, like a sponge with reading books from age 5 when my mother taught me to read, and, you know, all through school, because I didn't learn much in school. I learned things by reading. I didn't need school. School was just getting in the way. I couldn't wait to get out of there. And probably until I got my first computer, 2001, I got my first computer. But 2006, one of my sisters gave me a hand-me-down 386 running Windows 3.1 that I could actually get on the internet with a
you
lot
mean
of
1996.
Sorry. Thank you. Yeah, man. What am I talking about? Yeah, 1991. I had a computer at home. It was just text only. It couldn't connect to the internet, or at least I couldn't connect it to the internet. People don't remember that it was harder to use computers back then. When I was your age, like literally you had to download drivers over dial up and you had to go find the drivers. Now things just plug and play.
Yeah, you put them on floppy disks and install them.
And these kids today have never been on dial up. Dial up was incredibly slow. Although, really, the internet hasn't gotten exponentially faster like it should have with cable, because they've made the web far more media rich to where it takes more bandwidth.
Well, we had looked over an article on South Korea?
Yeah.
That is preparing to do a 10 gigabits a second broadband transfer of a 1 gig file, and they want to do it in 0.8 seconds.
Yeah, and then their neighbor is North Korea. Literally, most people in North Korea do not know the internet exists, and that's because of the government there. It is one of the most, if not the most tyrannical government in the world. It gets all the press, and people say it's the most tyrannical, but Myanmar, Burma might be more tyrannical, but we don't really know. And you know, whenever people... When I talk about, I think there should be less and less government, and it only gets in the way, and it only causes aggression, theft, fraud, and force and tears far more than it does anything good. And I think that the market, meaning people, could do everything better, which is kind of the main point of the Freedom Fiends, is that topic. A lot of times people say, if you don't want any government and you like lots of guns, move to Somalia. Which is ridiculous because Somalia now, first of all, has a government installed by the United States government, by the CIA. Secondly, even when they didn't really have a government, they had a bunch of competing warlords acting like government who were all armed by the US and Britain and a few different countries. So that is not really an apt saying, but I say to people, if you want more government, move to North Korea, because it's just a matter of degrees. You know, that is the end game of I love the government. I want it to take care of me. I want it to take care of things.
Yeah. They shelter you.
Ben?
Fun fact on that, too, is that North Korea has almost 100% voter participation in every single election, and they have multiple parties.
It also has 100. It has 0% unemployment, and it has zero income tax. And what they mean by zero income, what they mean by 0% unemployment is you are required to have a job, and you're probably working for the government in some capacity. And what they mean by 0% income tax is pretty much they take your whole check when you make it and pay you pennies to pay for their military and their tyrants' Fabergé eggs and cheeses.
Yeah, the
we'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most of our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
This is Mr. Michael Dean, Freedom Fiends, Redemption in the Third Act with Chandler St. Pierre and Ben Stone, the Bad Quaker. Ben, why do they call you a Bad Quaker? What does that mean?
Well, I am a Quaker. I'm a ordained minister, and but Quaker is often very misunderstood. It's a very old sect of Christian religion. But Quakers typically have a tendency to lean toward the socialist side, at least partially, some less than others. And Quakers tend to be pacifists, and I don't have any socialist, not a single socialist hair on my furry body, and I am not at all a pacifist. So in that sense, oh, and the third thing is, a good Quaker will go to what is referred to as meeting. Meeting is like going to church, except Quaker meetings don't involve like a minister standing up and lording over everyone.
You sit around. There's no leader at the front. There's no iconography at the front. It's a plain room, and you sit there in silent meditation until you're moved, and then you stand up and testify, and then you sit down. My sister took me to a Quaker meeting in New Hampshire when I was about 11, and I loved it because it was like I got to run it. I don't think they liked it, but I stood up and talked a lot and tried to school them all. But
even at 11 years old, huh?
Yep. You know, I think that there's some connection somewhere. I haven't been able to find it. Between Quaker meetings and AA meetings, because that's how a lot of AA meetings are. Like, you know, they do have someone speak up at front at the beginning usually, but then they go around the room and people just get up and kind of testify.
Well, you know, there's something to it. Even when the person speaking may sound like they're crazy or may sound like they're rambling about something you don't really want to listen to, it's part of like Quaker thinking that everybody has something important to add to the conversation and that nobody is really above anyone else.
Yep. And you're you carry a gun, which makes you a bad Quaker. You didn't get to that part.
Yeah, I'm believe in self-defense. I believe it's my responsibility to defend myself, and I don't go to a meeting. I just have no desire to go and be there. It's just not entertaining to me. So in that sense, I'm not a very good Quaker. I'm a bad Quaker. I don't go to meeting. I'm prepared to defend myself, and I'm not a socialist. And I'm so anti-socialist that I'm the exact opposite. I believe every individual, I believe no individual owes anything to another individual that they've never met or that they don't have any connection to. So I don't believe I can be taxed.
I think a better way to put it is you're not a collectivist.
Yeah, that's a real good way to put it. A lot of Quakers get very upset because they get taxed, and then the government takes that tax money and does violent things with it, like war or whatever, or oppress people in one way or the other. So a lot of Quakers are against taxes for that reason, but then a lot of Quakers are for taxes for the things that they want. And to me, that's no different than, say, Nancy Pelosi or George W. Bush.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. You really need to, if you're going to stand on a moral position, then you need to be consistent in that moral position. And if you're consistent in the position that aggression against others, for me to initiate aggression against others is bad. If I'm going to be consistent in that, then I also have to be consistent even when it's something that I care about. So I want to feed the hungry. I want to feed the poor. But it's morally inconsistent of me to want to rob someone to feed the poor. It's my duty and my opportunity to do it myself, but it's immoral to demand that from somebody else. Were you saying something, Michael?
Yeah, I was saying you got 2 minutes left here, a minute and a half. Tell me why people should not want leaders.
Well, you know, some people might say, but what about Jesus? Jesus was a leader. Well, yeah, he was kind of a leader. He had some people that would hang around him, and he would sometimes
But they
draw.
Could leave. They could leave, man.
Yeah, exactly. It was voluntary.
And he inspired them.
Yep.
Yeah. And I think that kind of leadership is fine, but the kind of leadership that's destructive is when you think someone, some great man, is better than you and can decide what laws are and can decide your life.
The difference between leaders and rulers.
Yeah, exactly.
It's been a great show, guys. That's the music. This has been our time. Thank you for your service, Ben Stone, the bad Quaker. Thank you for your service, Chandler St. Pierre, the jabbering coon cat. Worms. It's Freedom Fiends. We'll be back tonight with Derek J. and Lucander Fiend. Same bat channel sometimes and a different bat time. Go to freedomfiends.com for the details. Thanks.
Peace.
Have a great day, everyone.